Another episode. That was really loud. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sidecar Coffee Podcast. I'm sorry about blowing off your eardrums. My name is Lewis.
I'm Caleb.
And we're back.
Yeah, this is it.
This is another episode. This is episode 15.
Sure.
Something 14. Like that.
Yeah, something.
And today we're going to be talking about filter coffee versus a hand brew. Just like talking about like, I guess both are in the category of filter coffee, mm-hmm. but then you have hand brews and batch brew. And just kind of like talking about filter coffee and distinguishing them, our kind of preferences, choosing a brewer.
What's the difference? What makes each one so special? What does what to coffees?
Yeah. And especially like talking about like common batch brewers that maybe you want to look into, as well as brewers on the market, ones that we like, and just kind of like interesting things out there. I don't really feel like, yeah, there's filter coffee videos, but like a majority of people, anyway, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
Let's talk right about now, we'll this coffee this first. Yeah.
Sidecar that we have. Which, what is a sidecar? So a sidecar, dude, thank you, random person in the back of the room.
Thank you, civilian.
So a sidecar is a, in our case, is a small milk beverage, usually about 6 ounces. That
small little guy.
Espresso-based milk beverage. With that same espresso served on the side. You today we actually
small little milk beverage.
Small little milky boy. And right now we have a cortado paired with that same espresso on the side, which I think is going to be the way that we're going to do it from now on, I think. I don't know. I like the cortado.
I like the quartz, bro.
Quartz are nice.
Little 5 ounce.
Little five ounce, half and half. 1-to-1 ratios. Little guy.
Yeah, so today.
Little milky guy.
Today we have an Ecuador from Tandem Coffee Roasters out of Portland,
Maine.
Maine, not Oregon.
I got it right.
Yeah, you did get it right.
Yeah, thank God.
This is Miraflores. It is a washed, Typica and Catamore? I think so. Let me confirm it. Yeah, Typica and Catamore. We used this for our pop-up. We used it for single origin espresso and
hand brews.
So yeah, we've tried this coffee before. This isn't our first time trying this coffee, but it's my first time brewing it on the, I guess not first time, but it's Caleb's first time trying it off of my machine, the Let Bianca.
Yeah. It's our first time having, I don't know if you've had it as a sidecar yet.
No.
But it's my first time as a sidecar. We tasted this coffee a lot. Obviously, all of our coffees for the menu we dialed in, they were fire.
I don't think we ever tried it in a milk beverage just because we assumed it'd be good because the espresso
was good.
Yeah,
we just needed to get hand brew recipes down. We knew what we wanted for espresso, so yeah. that was the easy part.
But
not saying espresso is easy. It's actually,
dude, it actually pulls on like a different grind size than what I was using for your machine, which is interesting. But that's
crazy.
Flows of water
finer
will do.
Or coarser,
way finer.
Way finer?
Way finer.
That's crazy because my pressure's higher.
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. That's why I've been so confused.
Look into like the differences in my grinder and your grinder because like, I don't know. Because the geometry
I do have bigger burrs.
This is going to get really nerdy for a second, but like the burrs on yours and also the geometry of them are one bigger, but also just two.
I think they're ghosts or maybe that's the filter one.
Are they the ones that have like the little like stud looking?
I want to say they only because they made two separate burrs for the 78. We can talk about this in the
we're not gonna get that far. All right, let's taste. I'm gonna go with espresso first.
But yeah, so we've always found this coffee to be like super like mellow, sweet, pink, and when I say like
mellow,
a color
is such a good term,
but it's not like
it's
underwhelming. It's just
no. I don't think mellow even like remotely relates to being underwhelming. I think it definitely is just like chill.
It's solid.
Yeah,
and
it's so well rounded.
I think that's why we chose it for our menu. And like picking the coffee, we didn't necessarily know this, but I think we like Tandem. I've ordered 4 coffees from them. Maybe 5 because I had that. Do you remember that Christmas blend I ordered from them?
Yeah, what was that called?
Jingle beans something?
Yeah. Oh, dude,
That was really good.
That was really fun.
We love our holiday blends.
Dude, every year around, I can't wait to do a holiday like episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. But every year we get like each
like
of us
at
will
least
get, like 3 or 4 holiday blends. And then it'll get to like mid-January and we're like, what do we do with all this coffee? So,
but yeah, so we have, we used it on the menu just to have like something approachable and that wasn't like super processy, but still fruity, like just like really solid espresso that you, like anybody could be happy with. Like
anyone,
us, the really nerdy people could be like, it's so solid, but then also like the people that are trying espresso for the first time or single origin espresso for the first time. So, it's really, really good. And when I say like pink, that just means like it reminds me of the color pink. That's just how it works.
It's just weird.
I'm weird.
It's weirdo.
It's like sweet melon, like cantaloupe vibes, which I get with a lot of Ecuadors. But it's also like almost like a toasted coconut finish, but also like yellow starburst, maybe. What even are the flavors of starburst supposed to be? The red one's cherry.
Red one's cherry. I think the pink one is
maybe it's
pink lemonade.
Dude, I have no clue. I've just known them as colors. Are they even?
I don't know. I'm not going to get into colors. So
yeah, that's true.
I probably can't.
For anybody that doesn't know, Caleb is colorblind.
Yeah. So I probably can't see half the colors in the Starburst pack anyways.
Can't see half the colors in the rainbow, let alone the Starburst pack.
Yeet.
Yeah. Anyway. I think I get more toasted coconut in this, like honeydew melon.
I'm like struggling to find what I'm trying to think of.
Maybe like some I know this is like a buzzword now, but like, yeah. like lychee. I think there's like, it's just like sweet, but also still like a little strawberry-y. And I think that's what lychee is. Like, it's not like, are you rocking with that? Like off the front?
I just don't know. Like I'm struggling. Like the toasted coconut is there, but there's an acidity there that I just cannot.
And that's why I'm saying like lychee a little bit, or like honeydew melon.
Maybe like, this is very specific, but like unripe melon, how it's just super tart.
Yeah.
Cause as melons ripen out, right?
Yes.
They get sweeter.
All fruits. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how fruit works. Thanks, Liz. The plant guy.
Look at me.
This is why I always go to Lewis for plant questions. Friggin' nerd.
I think I prefer the shot of espresso, but the milk drink isn't bad.
I always prefer
shot of espresso.
I'm gonna go with the milk drink. I love the milk drink. I think it's really great. I just don't know what it is.
it's a mystery.
Yeah, it's very like the sweetness of it is very harsh, but in a good way. So it's almost like toasted brown sugar. Toasted coconut, it's just like got some sort of burnt, not burnt in a bad way, but like toasty.
So
roasty.
Like one of the, and not like it's over roasted because you don't really get any of that with the espresso, no. But it's like an enhanced like flavor.
Just
like, because like,
yeah, it adds a complexity there that isn't.
It's like
the
toasted
espresso.
Coconut doesn't taste smoky. It tastes toasted. You know what I'm saying? Those Maillard reactions and stuff. So, one of
Look
the tasting
you,
notes,
Maillard reaction. Yeah, bro.
One of the tasting notes, or the tasting notes that Tandem gives, which something that Tandem does, I think, is really cool. Excuse me. They, when describing tasting notes, they say "we hear," and that was just something that I've never seen before, and especially like before I ordered from them, I've only ever seen companies display tasting notes as tasting notes. And not like we hear.
Well, like also, I would love to get them on and like just ask like why we hear. Because my take on it is I think it's just to make fun of tasting notes because it's all subjective. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I think not necessarily to make fun, but I think it puts it into a more of, you know, you're going to taste what you taste. But this is what we like hear. Because like you could hear different like hearings. I don't know. I think it's like it's cool to say like you're going to taste this. Well, it's like, what if I don't? And then I'm going to be, like, pissed off that it doesn't taste like fruit punch.
We also could be just overanalyzing it, and they just think it's a silly, goofy thing. It's, like, no thought behind
it. I think it's cool.
I think it's really cool. I think it is really cool.
Regardless of...
I would love to ask them about it.
We need to figure out their intentions. Anyway, the tasting notes are orange, blackberry, brown sugar. I do get all of those.
Yeah. I think maybe the berry, it's just, like...
It's just like the I think the blackberry is the most like subtle fruit though.
Really?
One of the I guess out of the berries, maybe like blueberry too. You could like you know what I'm saying? Like we always say the easiest tasting note to get out of a coffee is blueberry, like blueberry Pop-Tart.
Yeah, yeah.
It, like almost any coffee, if you search for a blueberry Pop-Tart, you're gonna find
you'll
it.
You'll find it. But anyways, yeah, the tandem coffees, they're always fun. They're always like,
yeah, I don't know if solid. I already said this, but I find that with tandem, they always open up like crazy. Like they're good the week I get them, like tasting it right out of the mail, it tastes good. But if you wait like a month, it opens up so much.
Yeah.
Like there's not a single, like it's crazy how much they change. And, like even tasting this coffee, like we tasted it the day we got it. trying to dial in a filter recipe and I was like let's wait
yeah
and then we waited like 2 weeks and it was crazy how it changed.
It was insane.
Also this coffee, like the difference between tasting this one as espresso as well as a hand brew, I think it is cool how it tastes different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like it's not fair. Well obviously it tastes different, it's two different brewing methods, but most coffees like
sometimes they translate almost exactly.
Yeah,
espresso.
And obviously it depends on brewing method, which we're going to get into, but I've found that it's a little bit brighter, but you still get like that sweetness, but I think you can get more fruit out of it through filter. But
yeah, I think the espresso just gives it all that sweetness.
Yeah,
and like I don't know, watching it pull, it was a very like, when people say that ooey gooey espresso shot, like that's exactly what it pulled like. And it
but,
just
but
tastes
like,
very jammy.
We could change the brewing recipe on espresso, but I found that I think
whatever you did was great. Don't yeah. change it. We're using that from now on.
That's the best way. Anyway.
All right.
So getting into this episode. So like what the heck is filter coffee? What does that mean?
It's a huge umbrella.
Is it? Yeah. So this is a, I guess like breaking down our menu and just like, we had a filter coffee section. So we had batch brew and hand brews. And people are like, what the heck's a hand brew? Well, a hand brew is just pour over. Something to where you have control over the water that you're pouring onto your ground coffee. And so, like, Why would you do that? Well, coffee is all about being in control of all the variables of what you're doing. This is the nerdy craft, you know. You have all your setup, and people are like, oh, what is this, a chemistry class? Yeah. Yeah.
Actually,
you have to be, yes.
Yeah.
It's basically like being in control of all your variables. You know what I'm saying? So when you are brewing coffee, you want to be able to extract, you want to be in control of extraction. And so with doing a hand brew, you're in control of all the variables. You're in control of the grind size. You're in control of how fast the water is going to be going through the grounds of your coffee. You're in control of where the water is going to flow out of, what even like the speed of the water going into the grounds of coffee. Like you're in control of everything. You can do anything. You can buy a bunch of gadgets to change the dispersion of your water into your grounds. So like really nerdy stuff, but it's going to help you, you know, search for your kind of perfect cup of coffee. You know, you can get a really fast pulling like Kono dripper or an origami, get fast papers, V60, get fast papers, and you can grind really fine and do pours to where, you know, you can make it as light as possible, where you get the most acidity, where you get the most clarity, or you can get like one of the Hario switches where your water sits in with the grounds and you can get more
like
sweetness out of it, more
half.
Body.
Yeah. And so I think a good way to start this off is let's talk about batch brew.
Yeah.
I think,
and so that is also under the umbrella of filter.
Yeah.
Coffee.
So filter coffee, big umbrella,
anything
coffee
that has a filter
with a filter, any coffee brewed with a filter. So a French press, no, not filter coffee.
I mean, I guess technically
I mean,
it goes through, it
like
goes through
a mesh filter.
So technically, yes.
Technically?
I think so.
I guess, yeah.
It does
but it's more
a mesh
immersion,
filter.
More percolation, right?
Yeah.
So that's more like percolation brewing. But under the umbrella of filter coffee, we have your regular, whenever you go into a cafe, you're like, I just want black coffee. Boom. That's filter coffee. Cold brew also falls under filter coffee. And then You have all kinds of different brewing methods. But how I like to describe the differences between the two is just telling people that between a pour over and batch brew, you have batch brew. It's always usually done by a machine that's going to repeat the exact same recipe every single time. It doesn't change anything. None of the variables are going to change. The only thing that can change is if you put the wrong grind size, but other than that, you're going to get the same result every time. And a lot of people like that repeatability, which is cool, which is why batch brew is so popular. And also it just puts out mass batches of coffee within a cafe, whereas pour overs are usually a smaller recipe dialed in to highlight certain aspects of coffee. And it allows the barista or any person brewing it to really change any variable, like Lewis was saying, that you want, where we can get super nerdy and go into like the height of which you pour and then how much your agitation is. It all goes into
what
the final cup.
Yeah.
But with batch brew, it's just a big batch of coffee brewed the same way every time, repeated.
And so basically, like, picking out a batch brewer, first of all, you want to look at the kind of dose of coffee that you're looking to do. I know last year I bought the OXO 8-cup brewer, and I just was kind of like, there were days to where I wanted, you know, 3 cups of coffee, 4 cups of coffee, but most likely 3 cups of coffee, guys. Just chill on me.
No, bro. He's drinking cups the coffee, full 8. He's drinking
and,
the full 8.
And I didn't want to make 3 separate pour overs. So I was like, I'm going to invest in a batch brewer. And, you know, you do get those people that are like, dude, I think the OXO 8 cups like 150. And so there is that initial cost, as well as, you know, like, so starting from zero, say I'm like looking to get into coffee. What's the easiest thing I can do? Well, I can get a grinder and I can get a batch brewer, and that's, you know, better coffee than buying pre-ground and, you know, even just having like a Mr. Coffee Pot. Like, that'll do the job. If you want to focus on like higher quality, that's what you're going to get with, you know, spending more money. You're going to get a better dispersion screen. You're going to get a better brewing time. You're going to get more yield, better materials, more sustainable,
not just plastic,
like, products
all
I guess.
Around.
Yeah,
which is not like, at the end of the day, when you compare like the Mr. Coffee Pot with the OXO and then like the Breville Smart Brewer, the differences between them are very slim, but they are noticeable.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think you do pay for what you get.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of up to you on what you want to invest in. Obviously, I'm gonna say, you know, you're going to use this machine every single day. And if you're looking at getting a machine, you obviously care. And so I think you'd rather invest initially, you know, and you're going to use this batch brew. You know, I'm still using mine. It's a year and a half year later.
Yeah.
And I will
There's
continue
nothing
to
wrong
use
with
it.
It.
Yeah, it's freaking perfect. The only thing is I have to buy Cafisa to clean it.
Which you
every like month or so. But
yeah, which everyone should be doing. Just descale. Depending on your descale area, what water you're using, like. It can gunk up your machine. Just clean it.
And, like, most manufacturers will send, like, a guide on how to do that. It's not something, like, really advanced. And, yeah, like, batch brew, for me, like, if I'm trying out a new cafe, sometimes that's just all I get.
Yeah.
Batch brew, especially if the cafe's busy, it's like, that's all I'm going to get. What are your batch brew options?
Well, yeah, and then batch brew is just known as, like, this super basic thing. Yeah. So, like, if...
It's also the cheapest thing on the menu.
Usually
say,
every time, yeah.
Yeah,
it should be.
Of the time.
If it's not, then we have an issue.
Yeah.
Houston, we have a problem. But with batch brew, it's like it's the most basic thing in the cafe, usually the cheapest option on the menu, and it should always be good every time. So if you get batch brew from a cafe and it's not good, it's like, oh, like,
that
what's
means
the rest of the
most
menu
of the time
gonna
that's
like?
Going to be like, that means your coffee is just not good.
Yeah, right. Like, it's super easy. You're just pouring ground coffee into a basket. And the machine does the work.
Mm.
And then getting into machines, like, I think a lot of people are very familiar with bun coffee brewers. That's usually what you find at, like, gas stations. Or I think Dunkin' uses that still, where they have the big glass carafes and, just the old school diner brewers. And then I think there's two, like, newer ones, but the one that's most common is the Fetco brewer. The Fetco brewer has just taken
on. And these are commercial.
Yeah, these are commercial coffee brewers that
just if look you like walk giant into a cafe, towers. This is what you're going to see. For
yeah,
the
they
part.
Just look like metal towers with little screens on them. And basically with the FETCO brewer and the newest one being the ground control brewer, which
that's like the top tier
specialty gold standard of batch brewers now. If you want to look into it, just look at what it looks like. They're kind of cool.
It's insane.
They're kind of crazy.
Like something that's in a sci-fi movie.
It literally looks like a spaceship. Yeah.
It's crazy.
But the FETCO brewers, you can actually just – and the ground control brewers, you can adjust all those variables like you would with the pour-over, but it's just going to repeat those variables every time. So, yeah, FETCO, bun, and ground control are kind of the three
– at least that come to our minds.
That come to our minds that we're most familiar with, and I think a lot of other people are as well.
And, yeah, so it's like walking into the cafe, hey, what do you guys have for batch brew? Most of the times the place will have two options. They'll have their, this is just probably most common, they'll have their espresso blend that they use for espresso on batch, which will tend to be probably like a darker roast.
Yeah, you'll see like medium-ish roast.
And like it's darker like, than
yeah, yeah, like
the
a
next
origin.
Option,
yeah.
Which is probably going to be like the single origin, a little bit of a lighter roast. Sometimes they'll throw on a natural, depending on the place. I think some places have three options where they'll have a washed natural and then a blend. But that just depends on how much space they have.
Yeah,
and, like,
it depends on
demand
space and,
of batch
yeah,
brew.
Demand. I was just about to say, like, if you have a lot of people coming in asking, well, what do you have on batch brew? Can I try something different? You know, then that they'll have like, I mean, I've been to some cafes that have three or four options and I'm like, dude, I just want your house blend. Like, mm-hmm. That's just whatever, like whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Batch brew can be super fun, but it can also be super chill.
Yeah,
and
I think it's really approachable. I think for most people that get in, especially coffee, or that ask me like, hey, like, I don't have that much time, but I want to brew better coffee. What can I do? I recommend a hand grinder, and I recommend a, you know, even just like a Mr. Coffee batch brew to get yourself into it. Because like, once you get into it, you're like, oh, you know, buying your whole beans, grinding it, doing your batch brew, I think it's gonna open the door for you. And whether that means buying an Ode to grind your coffee for you, or an Encore, or an Amazon grinder, a burr grinder, which, you know, there's good ones out there. I would recommend spending a little bit more money, but, you know, you can do whatever you want. If it makes good coffee that you like, you can do it.
Well, yeah, and then also I think it's really funny, too, when people ask, like, when I'm recommending like starter batch brewers, because the Mr. Coffee brewer has such like a stigma around it being like a grandpa, like grandparents brewer, mm-hmm. that like, no, we shouldn't use that because our grandparents use that. And like, that's not specialty coffee, but it's like, it is. It's a machine
it's
that pours water
you put into it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a machine that pours water over coffee. As long as you're not putting Maxwell House into
it,
then now you're getting to another level.
We had like a track breakfast and it was at Mackenzie's house. And so I ground it. I used like a black and white geisha I had at the time. I had like just a natural geisha from Costa Rica, I think. And I was just like, oh, I'll just use this. And, I brewed it on her Mr. Coffee machine. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
It was so good. And it was just like, yeah, it's like if you use good coffee in it,
it wasn't like
black and white's, what is it called? Like they're limited, whatever.
The future.
It was just, yeah, it was a 12-ounce bag that was like $30. So,
yeah. So, and I think also we live in an era now where it's all capsule machines,
mm-hmm.
and capsule machines are looked at as like these very like prestigious machines that are like everybody should have because that's specialty coffee. And it's like, no, as long as
like an espresso,
like Nespresso Keurig,
which for people that I think Nespresso has its niche. I think for people that want, and this is a whole separate topic, so let's just
go quick.
Yeah. For people looking to get into espresso, which espresso is something that you cannot just dip your toe in. It's a jump into the pool.
Yep.
It's a, you know, the base machine. People are like, oh, I really want to get an espresso machine. I say, you can get a Breville, and that's pretty much your only option. There's maybe some like cheaper, newer stuff to the market.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all gonna crap out on you. So it's like, get the Breville, but your base.
Yeah, and that's the easiest because you know you could get a Gaja Classic, but it's
right,
like, what is the person that knows nothing about espresso like? The Breville comes with a grinder. You know what I'm saying? That's you don't right. have to worry about anything else. It literally comes with a grinder.
Yeah.
And that opens your door into it. But for people who want to get into espresso but don't want to spend $500 on a Breville, and that's base, for the most part, Black Friday, there are some deals where you can get some for whatever, or you can buy a used one. Anyway, is the Nespresso. I think it's a way to get into espresso, and, you know, if you don't really necessarily care about, you know, and you can buy milk. Anyway, I think that's like a good little base if people can't spend...
And there are also
over $200 on
there. I believe there are also some specialty coffee companies that make Nespresso pods. They
which
do
is
make
cool.
pods, which is cool to see. All inclusive.
Yeah,
that's what we preach. So you got to practice what you preach. But mainly, what I'm talking about is Keurig.
Yeah,
just because they're looked at as these like really incredible machines, and like looking at the technology in them, they are. But like the coffee within them is crap.
Yeah,
when you can take something that's $20 at Walmart, like the Mr. Coffee maker, put it on your counter, hand grind or like electric grind some better local coffee, and then throw that in, you'll see so much, you'll see a lot more of an improvement within your daily driver coffee mm-hmm. than you would with spending $200, $300 on a Keurig
yeah.
and buying those stupid pods. Also, yeah. the pods are not good for the environment, so stop that.
Yeah, also, like, just looking at sustainability, it's like, all right, well, I don't want to spend that much money, so I'm going to get a Keurig. It's like, how often are you going to buy pods? Anyway, but regardless, it's probably going to yeah. be cheaper. But if you want to, if you're looking to drink better coffee, that's not the way to go.
Yeah, batch brew can be super simple, and you can take it up a notch, but it's always super simple. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, little Mr. Coffee batch brewer, one filter, and just a better coffee.
Yeah.
And then you had better coffee. That's all it is. So really boils down to having better coffee for that.
Yeah.
But now pour overs.
I think
hand brews.
First, I want to go. The OXO egg cup brewer is great.
Oh,
if you want to
yeah,
spend
yeah.
a little
oh,
bit
yeah,
more
yeah.
money.
Oh, yeah, ranking batch brewers.
Ratio six is good.
Pretty high in price. I actually would. You give your list. I'll get mine.
Do it. I mean, this is just like ones. Oh, I'm not necessarily. List. I'm not. I'm just naming ones I've heard of.
Oh, okay.
Mocha Master
is insane.
Breville Smart Brewer. I think, and you might know more about this, I did research. Lance Hedrick has a video comparing a lot of batch brewers. So if you're in the market, he goes into like a deep dive of that. YouTube's always cool to watch if you're ever looking into products. In the coffee space, there are a lot of resources, but when it comes to like, I guess like cheaper options, it's kind of hard to find sometimes. But yeah, for smart brewers, I think there's a lot of information out there on YouTube and stuff. And also in like, we love coffee forums, man.
I love Reddit.
Reddit goes crazy.
I really do. Like r/espresso.
Yeah.
r/James Hoffman. r/Lance Hedrick.
Yeah.
r/coffee.
Yeah.
It's always great.
But yeah, those are at least like the brewers that come to my mind. You might know a little bit more, but
yeah. Well, I mean, I think price wise, I think the one that you get the absolute most bang, most consistency, and just most everything for your buck, there's two, the Mocha Master, and then I think your OXO 8-cup brewer, that you can just find on Amazon. But the Mocha Master, the price is a little high for what it looks like, but the materials that it's made of, are incredible materials. And
the consistency is fantastic.
The consistency is, and it's just a classic. Like, it's yeah. such a classic machine.
Oh, I guess now the Fellow released, we can't speak on the Aiden.
Oh, yeah. I have
but
no
that
idea.
Does exist.
By the time this, it's on pre-order now.
Yeah.
When this episode
it
releases.
It looks cool.
It looks cool, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be great. And honestly, I might cop one. I'm not kidding. So
I support that. Yeah.
They look cool. And you know, we're both Fellow fanboys.
Yeah.
So
that's how I started, man.
That is how you started.
Fellow Stag X.
He got me on the Fellow train.
Fellow EKG, Fellow Ode. That was me.
Fellow travel mugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fellow everything, bro. Anyways.
The apple of coffee. Yeah. So getting into pour overs here, And it is like you can get into pour overs, and this mm-hmm. is like how most people start, because you can buy a Chemex, a hand brewer, and a kettle for all less than $50 for the most part.
Yeah.
And so that's the easiest kind of step into specialty coffee. That's why a lot of people start with pour overs, and whether that's a Chemex or a V60 or an AeroPress or even a French press. I couldn't even think about French press, but yeah, I mean, I started on a French press, then I got a Chemex, then I got an AeroPress. So that was kind of like my...
That's the pipeline.
Yeah, that was my dive into it. And so filter coffee is, I guess, like, you can get away with not really knowing anything. Like, you can look up recipes online to do. And, you know, when we talk about recipes, that means, like, your pouring technique. So you can look up, like, what your grind size should be. And honestly, the hardest part, in my opinion, of pour overs is grind size, because you look online and this was the most annoying part about getting into coffee.
When we were getting into it, we would literally look online and see like what grind size medium. And it would be like medium.
What does
medium
that
fine.
Mean, dude? Like, or it would give me the micron, like 600 microns. It's like, how am I supposed to do that?
It's also, how do you measure that? No one, still in our coffee journey, still don't have tools to measure.
I think
microns.
Some grinders come with, like, they're measured in microns. I can't remember what grinder it is, but some grinder comes with, like, it literally, the grind adjustment is in microns.
Oh, that must be sweet. But, like,
I can't remember which
one. But
also,
like, so many different platforms use different ways of describing grind size. Yes. Some places will use the fine, medium fine, coarse. Some places will use clicks, which only refers to
Commandante.
Commandante. Yeah. It's usually the universal click.
Yeah, and that's why I got a Commandante. For it was literally just to like to simp like it really just helps your filter out so much, because you can just look up a recipe and immediately copy it.
Well, then also a lot of time, and this goes into like the Brewer's Cup that happens every year, a lot of competitors competition level baristas that go and
it's
the Brewer's
Cup.
Yeah, they'll do their recipes with Commandantes, mm-hmm. and then they'll go, oh yeah, I did this coffee on 27 clicks, and then mm-hmm. you're like, awesome,
yeah,
I'm gonna take that,
which is cool to see. So like for filter coffee, I think first you need to look, you know, I think investing in the grinder is the most important most important part of filter coffee. You can even use, you don't even need a gooseneck kettle if you have a good grinder, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, yeah.
Because that's what's going to affect your extraction. You know, you're doing filter coffee to be in control of every aspect of your brew. And so you don't want to cheap out on the grinder, because at the end of the day, you could invest and have the best pouring technique, have the best brewers, the best filters, the best, you know, serving ware. But if you're if your grinder sucks, it's going to taste bad, you know? You could be using the best of everything.
You just got to, yeah, cool, because you just got to think about it. It's the way that it's cutting the coffee up.
Yeah.
And
that,
cutting.
Everything affects extraction.
So,
and so
having even particle distribution, which is a big fancy term for just saying that all of your pieces of coffee are the same size when you set it to an adjustment, to a certain setting, that's so important, because that's going to give you even extraction.
And so this doesn't mean, you know, oh, I need to go buy an EG1.
No.
No.
Don't do that.
No.
But
I think my favorite, and what I was completely blown away by getting into filter coffee, was Ezpresso.
Dude. Yeah, and it's called One Zpresso.
They have absolutely, and someone just won their Brewer's Cup, it's probably like 2 years ago now, but using the ZP6 grinder, which is specially made for filter coffee, and it is $130, maybe even cheaper.
Maybe. So the one that I have, I think it's the K Max or K Pro. I think it's the K Pro, because I think they have the K Max out now and they don't make the K Pro anymore. But
yeah, the ZP6 is $180.
Oh, that's not bad. I thought it was way more than that. But the one that I have was originally marked at $220. I got it for like $170 off of Rogue Wave's garage.
Yeah,
sale,
shout out Rogue Wave. They wholesale ZP6. Okay, so I guess this ZP6 special is $200, but I could have swore it's way cheaper. I think they redid it.
But yeah, Ezpresso is a very good hand grinder manufacturer. They are kind of insane.
Dude, why is it so expensive now?
I don't know, bro. It says new.
Oh, that's the S. Anyway, the Q2 heptagonal, $100.
Yeah.
That's a great filter grinder
as well.
Also,
what's the one that you have?
I have the
J-Max?
X-Pro.
X-Pro.
That one that I've really used for espresso and filter for 2 years, and it rivals the Caminante.
I will say also another company that makes some seriously good hand grinders, Timore.
Yes.
Timore, the Timore chestnut.
Yeah.
Look at those. I mean, I got mine on Amazon for $55.
Yeah.
And it does filter and espresso. Now, grinding for espresso sucks. It's hard. But, like, once you get it, it's good espresso. So,
yeah. So, they don't – this is just off of Rogueway's website, but they don't have a normal ZP6 anymore, and they also don't have a normal Q2 heptagonal. Heptagonal meaning how the burrs are shaped. And this is just something that you're going to have to get into – when you dive into filter coffee is understanding burr geometry, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to nerd out, but just understanding kind of like conical burrs, flat burrs, what heptagonal means, hexagonal.
Yeah, I think Kyle Rousel has a video on just talking about Easy Presso.
Yeah.
He always hypes up Easy Presso, so if you don't believe us, believe Kyle Rousel because he's awesome.
Yes.
But then going back into pour overs, and also like I do want to explain like the language that we're using here, like pour overs and hand brews, it's the same thing. Like we're just talking about
you're using your hand to pour over to water.
Yeah. Yes. And that's why we decided to put it on our menu as hand brews, because we get a lot of people that ask at the shop that I work at, like, what's a pour over? And when we made our menu, I was like, okay, I've seen people call it hand brew. I wonder if that's better. And we only got a couple of questions, but it seemed pretty self-explanatory. Hand brew, like, oh, they're going to brew it by hand. It also just, I don't know, we're just little hipster baristas, so we just wanted to, you know, push the social norms.
And so I think pour overs are, and this is switching to kind of like a commercial space, I think we covered home good, like invest in a grinder. It doesn't have to be this advanced fancy thing.
How would you tell these people?
These people,
what
are
brewer,
lovely
are
followers,
lovely. Sorry, how would you?
I'm
tell
so sorry about that.
These people, meaning like the people that are listening. Yes. Okay. How would you explain to everybody what brewer they should pick based on their preferences, and
I think,
how to find the best brewer for them?
I think it's unfortunate because there are, you know, looking at brewers, you're going to see some that are $20, and you're going to see some that are $100, and that, you know, it sucks. And so I think getting into it, I think you have to get, and you don't have to, but from
what you want, but
my personal experience, every brewer brews different and produces something different. And so it's the same thing, you know, like finding your own preferences, what you prefer. And it's also fun, like getting a new brewer and being, you start, you know, you have the knowledge of your last brewer, but you're also starting with something new that's different. And so it's cool, like, keeping the same coffee and trying it on different brewers. I know when I had one of our friends over for the first time and letting him try coffee, I brewed the same coffee on an Origami, and I brewed it on V60. And it was like they're both conical brewers, but the taste was completely different.
Right.
And it was just cool to, like, have him. And he had a little bit of a palate, but I think even for people that just – you know, drink coffee, they can still taste that or like see the perceived, I guess, like body from that. Like one just tasting lighter. I think most people can notice that anyway, like picking your own, honestly, like the V60 and Kalita are so popular for a reason.
There's the OGs.
And I just think that's a great place to start. They're the most accessible. If you walk into honestly, like not even specialty coffee places, in cafes will have
a V60 or
Kalitas.
Yeah.
If not, like us talking about Rogue Wave, they sell
all kinds of
so many different brewers. They sell so many different filter papers.
Well, also I think it is very beneficial for anyone to learn the difference between a conical brewer and a flat bottom brewer.
Mm-hmm.
Conical brewers are just going to highlight acidity, more fruit forward cups.
They tend to brew a little bit faster
as
well.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of a finer grind size, a little more higher extractions, but also whenever I think of conical brewers, I always think higher perceived acidity.
Yes.
And then with flat bottom brewers, there's more contact at the bottom of the brewer.
Water contact.
Because they're flat.
Yes.
So the water sits with the coffee a little longer, which then produces a sweeter, more well-rounded cup. Full body.
You have a little bit more perceived body, yeah.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, like, Caleb was saying, like, the finer you grind, the kind of more extraction you get, and so that's tended to be, I guess, correlated with cone brewers because you can grind finer. However, like with newer brewers on the market, as in like the what's Jonathan Gagne's brewer called?
I didn't know he had one.
Oh my gosh, it's like the Tricolette ish type.
Oh,
thing.
The next level.
Yes, the next level brewer.
Oh,
The Hario Switch is becoming a lot more popular. Like brewers that are able to do immersion and do immersion and then drain the water.
Yeah, but
percolation.
If we had to recommend one brewer, and
it would be the Oreo.
We can literally, I was just about to say, we can say it together. The freaking Oreo. Yeah. Like it's this perfect like.
The nerds
mix.
Use it. The noobs can use it.
Yeah, it's this perfect mix
fantastic
of a
clarity,
a flat bottom and a conical brewer.
Full body. It does everything you need.
It brews amazing cups, and we've had no issues with it. It's very.
We have the Oreo V3. I think the V4 is out now. It's a little more complicated,
really
a little
bit
more expensive.
Yeah, I would just get the V3.
But yeah, Rogue Wave has the V3. So
heck yeah,
we're gonna be plugging on and Rogue Wave here. But,
yeah.
yeah. So it's really cool. Also, with Rogue Wave, if you order grinder from them, they'll send you beans.
To season,
as well as they'll give you like two little packs to try. So that's something that's
like,
cool that they do.
This is a Rogue Wave plug.
I mean, they're love solid, them. Dude. They're really cool. Like, that's really cool to see. And it's just like a little act of like, hey, we appreciate you buying from us.
Yeah. When I bought my my Easy Presso K Max, I think, I don't know what it was, but they sent me two little packs of coffee to go with it just to say, hey, thank you for buying a grinder from us. Here's coffee from us, so that you get to try what we do here. And also, like, you never know when someone's buying a grinder, they have to go through the stress of also buying coffee now, and they just go ahead and provide it. It's so nice. And it's 50 grams each. So it was 100 grams of coffee.
So, yeah, there's our little home filter brewing. I think diving into commercial filter hand brews
is a whole ball game.
So with
9 innings.
It's frustrating sometimes because you can walk into a cafe and they have a pour over option, and some cafes only offer their single origin coffees on pour overs, and so that's frustrating because if you want to not have an espresso drink, you have to order, or if you want something like, if you just want to try a single origin option, you have to order a hand brew, which sucks because it's like, oh, I really didn't want to spend like $6, but because I just love seeing that single origin espresso. It's the easiest way. It's most of the times, you know, it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah. It's all about demand.
But yeah, it's hard to see sometimes, but most places will offer a pour over. Something frustrating to me is that a lot of places won't focus on this part because it's obviously not going to be ordered as much as your specialty drinks or your espresso. So sometimes hand brews can be an afterthought. And so this is something I always look for at a place. If I'm looking to buy, and I think someone that does hand brews perfect is Comet. They have a person on their bar that's literally designated to doing hand brews.
Yeah.
So they have their POS person, they have their, espresso person, the person that's on bar, and then they also have a person doing only pour overs.
Yeah.
And so that's cool because, you know, they can crank them out. They have two separate V60s that they can do two brews at the same time.
They also have other brewers too. Sometimes they'll get some coffees in and you'll see them whip out an origami for that specific coffee because that's how it was like, either that's how they've enjoyed it the best or that's how the roaster was like, we want this on if you're going to brew it.
And so, you know, if you live in St. Louis, that's an awesome place that does hand brews. Also, something that's becoming more common, Sump, for an example, uses Pour Steady. And so what that is basically like a machine that does the hand brew for you. It can change the flow of water, where it pours, the direction of it. What you have control over everything within the machine. So it's like batch brew, except it's a little bit more precise and just, you know, it is a machine focused on replicating what you would do with your hand,
yeah,
giving your barista more time
To step away.
They just press a button.
Yeah. Well, also, it's replicating what you do by hand, but also it's just a machine that pours water. It doesn't come with its own, like, basket or anything. Yeah. So you can put
any brewer
and
change
there.
How much water you want it to use for a bloom, how long it takes.
I think they have an app that goes with it.
It's a way to make – I think I like this. I'm for – obviously, I think the intention of having a human being do it is cool and, you know, having a – I think – it'd be cooler to see places like be more intentional. Like if you order a pour over, like come talk to me about your coffee as I brew it. I think that's something that's really cool.
And this goes way back to our one episode that we did was the role of the barista, and honestly, like the intention behind putting pour overs on your menu as a cafe. Are you doing it to showcase your coffee and showcase your team, or are you just doing it because you know it's something that just has to be on your menu, so you're just going to try to crank them out. Another automated brewer for pour overs, though, is the Marco SP9s. I've seen a lot of cafes have
those. Blueprint,
I
think.
Yeah, Blueprint has
them.
They
have, like, the little, like, water thing on
top.
It looks cool.
They look awesome. And with those, I can't remember who I was talking to about this. It was in St. Louis, and I was asking them, I was like, do you prefer this over the Pour Steady? And they were like, yes, these are way better. The Pour Steady has a lot of either, like, glitches or, like, it'll just a lot of – there's some issues with the Pour Steady. I don't know. I've never used one, and I don't have experience with that. Or the Marco, I've just seen them on bars that have talked to people, and they said that they prefer the Marcos over them.
And there's also, like, this – I don't even know what it's called.
That's also, like, just a new thing happening.
But there's, like, this metal rod that dispenses water.
Oh, the Tone?
I think that's the most lame one.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. But then there's also the Tone Brewer, which I found at Dayglow. And they had two of them set up on the bar. And they literally, when I was there, they brewed me like four different coffees and just handed it to me and was like, drink this. And each one was insane.
Yeah.
So, but they had different recipes. Like the buttons were set to different recipes, which is cool.
I think moral of the story with commercial pour over machines, I think you can be confident if you walk into a place and can see an automated pour over because it's going to be consistent. It's going to be the recipe that they dialed in for that coffee. You're not going to have to wait for a really long time, I hope, if their flow of the bar is good. And, you know, if you do wait a long time, that's on the bar themselves for having not really a good flow.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the one thing I think is most frustrating about pour overs is that for a place that doesn't really have a good system, you can wait 15, 10, 20 minutes for a pour over, and that just sucks.
Which is, going back to comment, like, I've never waited more than 7.
No.
And that's just because they got it going on over there. I think also going back to home, like picking the perfect brewer for you, it's all about what you like. So I think going to cafes, tying these together, I think going to cafes, asking for pour overs, and then also asking the baristas, like, what brewer are you using? Where can I find that? Why do you use that one? And then tasting the coffee that comes out of it is a great way to explore and decide for yourself what brewer you're going to use at home.
And I think, you know, more of the story, like, getting into coffee, going to a cafe, and getting a pour over was something I did on the regular, you know, getting into coffee. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great way.
Because you went to Upshot a lot for that, right?
I went to Upshot a lot. It's cool because they had iced V60s, and so that was cool to, you know, experience filter coffee or, I guess, pour over coffee, but have it iced. It's a really interesting way to taste it, and it's a lot better than cold brew. And so I'm not a cold brew hater. I'm just saying.
I think starting to become a cold brew not enjoyer.
Yeah.
Not a hater. I will never hate cold brew. But I'm starting to very much enjoy flash brewed over that. Just because you get all the things that you get in a hot brew just cold.
So,
anyways.
And yeah, I think for places close to us, I think Comet does the best job with pour overs because
shout out
as well again. As you know, having that whole system, they change their menu if not weekly because they're
different.
A multi-roaster and so it's really cool because you can go on their menu and you have they split it up between kind of like experimental really wild coffees and kind of more chill approachable coffees, and so they'll have like three options on the approachable side and like four or five
right.
On the more like, you know, depending on the week, depending on what coffees they have. And most of the times as well, whatever coffee you order on pour over, they're going to have in a bag on the wall. And so mm-hmm. if you really like something that you got, you can get it in a bag. And it's also roasters that you'll like rarely see.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that are usually not in the States.
They source from roasters all over the world. And so, you know, that's something that's just really special and cool to see. And just I think it makes the whole experience easier. Because, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like this coffee. I've never tried anything from Amsterdam. Like, that's weird. And it's like being able to try that on the menu and being like, oh, crap, like, let me get a bag or let me try another coffee that this roaster offers, you know. Yeah. So I just think that's really cool. And, you know, I've been able to try a lot of stuff walking into Comet that I wouldn't have tried otherwise.
Well said.
That was good. So yeah, for filter coffee, like it's awesome. And I think it's a lot of people's first step into coffee, and whether that's buying a batch brewer and an Amazon grinder or, you know, full sending and buying something a lot nicer. I think it's something that you can make that no one else kind of has. You know, you can buy your own grinder, you can buy, you know, you can make your own brewing recipes. It's so tailored to you and what you want your experience to be. I think it's beautiful, dude. Like,
dude, it's
freaking beautiful, dude.
Well, it's also like one thing to remember when you're purchasing equipment for your house to brew coffee for yourself is you're becoming your own cafe. So become the place that you would want to hang out in all the time and drink coffee at. If you know, have a certain grinder that you want and a certain espresso machine and a certain batch brewer, you know, just do that. Do whatever's going to make you the happiest, because at the end of the day, it's your money that you're spending and you want it to.
And it's your experience.
It's your experience. So why not heighten it if you can and make it the best you can make it, because it's your house, your home.
But also, like, experiment with as much as possible. You know, see a new brewer on the market or a new brewer on Instagram and you're like, oh, that looks really interesting. Like, let me see, you know, what people's review are, or just like go into it.
Yeah. Also, usually if it piques your interest, it's probably a good brewer too. Cause I mean, there's all the time where I'll see them on Instagram and I'm like, that just looks dumb. And then I don't buy it. But like the Aurea, it piqued my interest a lot. And now we have, between us, we have three of them. So it's like, okay.
So I guess we can talk about our own filter setups. I mean, we have multiple brewers over the years. We've gotten, started on a French press, got an AeroPress, got a Chemex, got a V60, got the Stag X brewer from Fellow, the Origami and Aurea, and now I'm looking into getting either the Next Level or the Aurea V4.
What is your daily driver?
Daily driver is Aurea, just it's easy.
Yeah.
If I want to switch it up, I'll do an Origami, but
even when I'm brewing new coffees now, get a new coffee in, first thing I do, Aurea.
Yeah.
Just see what it's like.
And so I have a Stag EKG. I think, you know, Timor makes a great gooseneck kettle. Gooseneck kettles are just going to give you the most control over your pours. And so it's a good investment, and you can buy one, an electric kettle, gooseneck kettle off Amazon for less than $20. I think my first one I bought on Amazon, I just wanted more water capacity because... Yeah.
I will say with buying them, though, I would look in the $50 to $70 range just so you can get something that's temperature controlled, that you can select the temperature of.
That's something that's nice. Messing around with temperature,
Because, like...
Which there is studies that, like...
Sometimes it doesn't matter. Once you're up in, like, the 200-degree range...
It doesn't matter, but...
204 to 205 don't make a difference, but, like, being able to set your water to a temperature...
Yes.
And it stays
especially if you, like, enjoy teas and stuff, like...
Yeah, well, also, like... You're not guessing. It takes the guesswork out of it. So it's like putting a pot on to boil and then just waiting 2 minutes and hoping that it's at like 205.
And there's other uses for it. Yeah, I use mine for tea. I use mine sometimes when I'm blooming yeast and want it at exactly 115 degrees Fahrenheit.
Look at you, dude.
But, boy. So, and there's another, the artisan kettle or whatever, I think. I can't remember. Well,
there's the Brewista.
Yeah, the Brewista. That one. Yeah. So... And then, obviously, I have an EasyPresso, EasyPresso grinder, Commandante as well, but also the Timor grinder I just got does a great job with filter, as well as the Fellow Ode was the first kind of like filter grinder I bought. Getting into it, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I pretty much have all the same brewers, except for I have a Kono dripper, which is nice. I will say there are some brewers that I have now that I wish I didn't have. They're cool.
But it was an experience that you had.
It was an experience that I had, and it was very cool. But now I have other brewers that replace them, and my daily driver as well is the Oria. That's literally all I use right now. I mess around with the Kono every once in a while, and I have some different
solid
filter. It's solid, yeah. But sometimes I just want to throw in a wave filter into an Oria and just go with it. I know every time it's going to be a good brew. So
that's us in Filter Coffee, guys.
That's Filter Coffee. That's the umbrella.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be brewing a lot of batch brew this summer just because I'm going home. And so I'm able to make me and my dad a pot of coffee in the morning. And it's easy. And it's also a good way to taste coffee.
Like, the one thing I want to mess around with is, so I have the Breville Smart brewer, and
which you got used off Amazon or used off
Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, and it was in the box too. I was like, oh, and the lady was like, yeah, it's never been used. We just didn't want it. And I was like, it was a gift to them, and they're like, we just don't want it. So you can always find stuff like that.
He also got his espresso machine off Facebook Marketplace. So
not my now espresso machine.
No, Breville.
Oh, the Breville Duo. Duo, yeah, temp. Yeah. You can find Duo, got that off eBay.
Whatever.
Got to use. Get used equipment. If it's in good condition, get it.
I'm too bougie. I'm playing.
You're an idiot.
All right. Well.
I cannot. Let's.
Thank you guys for listening.
That was it.
If you guys have any questions about any equipment or anything. Yeah. If you made it to the end, this was a whole.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah. It just. It sucks, you know, trying to explain all these variables. Hopefully we. Helped you guys
it's
understand.
A big world.
But it's a beautiful world and it something that you can kind of make to your and build to your own preferences and expand your knowledge within coffee. So it is something that the physics of the fundamentals of what is it called? The fundamentals of filter
the
coffee?
The physics of filter coffee.
The I think it's right there on my shelf.
Yeah, it's the physics of filter coffee.
Yeah, the physics of filter coffee by Jonathan Gagne. Yeah, this is a wizard. Of coffee himself, Jonathan Gagne. It's a book to help you understand all aspects of filter coffee if you really, 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 really want to nerd out.
Yeah, he's an astrophysicist who wrote a book on filter coffee. So
it's an interesting read and something I've had to read twice now and don't still. I'm probably going to read it a third time and take extensive notes.
There's so much to it, yeah.
But yeah, so thanks guys for listening. There's like a little outlet if you want to get into this actual science behind filter coffee and understanding.
And Lance Hedrick just dropped a new video this past week about filter coffee. And I think it's like his final video on filter coffee. It's like a 45-minute, here's everything you need to know. So
and then
check that out.
Yeah, when it comes to recipes as well, just looking up what brewer you have recipe on the internet. And something's going to come up for you. But, yeah. So, thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Sidecar Summer is in full swing. Keep your eyes out for some content. We're going to post some stuff, dude.
Some stuff. We'll figure it out.
We do coffee.
I think.
We're Sidecar Coffee.
Bye.
Have a lovely, lovely
Have a
week.
Lovely. Brew good coffee.
You
and
can.
Enjoy the summer.
Yeah, preferably.
Enjoy the weather.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy life.
Wear sunscreen.
SPF, baby.